You're listening to WHCR DB.
It's looking like a short-term extension will happen before the government runs out of money tomorrow as talks continue to strike a two-year budget deal. The president deciding whether or not to release a Democratic memo challenging claims about alleged FBI surveillance abuses, talking yesterday in Ohio.
Did we catch them in the act or what? You know what I mean? Oh, did we catch them in the act?
The president's supposed to make a decision soon. This is USA Radio News.
The special benefits for new memberships during the expo.
So 5 months ago, the folks at MyPillow said,
Arena on Case Boulevard in Bloomington on Thursday, November 9th from 2 to 7 p.m.
But I tried it.
Don't miss it.
What have you got to lose? Tell you what
but
I
it
lost.
Matters most.
Interrupted
our
sleep.
Award-winning team
changed
of emergency
my life.
Physicians
I'm letting
and
know
nurses
you need my pillow.
Provide sophisticated
well,
care
pillow,
24 hours a day. Superior
See, it stays
emergency
cool all
care.
Night, keeps it shape, comes with
notice.
A 60-day money-back guarantee.
Care,
don't like it, return it. And a 10-year
care.
Warranty. What pillow have you
the
got?
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical
you
Center.
My pillow Hunterdon
your
washer,
Medical
dryer,
Center was started
new
by
again.
Families
Try doing that with your
for
dollar
families.
Store pillow and see what
Inside our circle of care,
and by the way,
we offer coordinated care
USA.
For your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care.
Go to MyPillow.com.
If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC. Or visit
United
us
Nations
on the web
now saying in a release that ISIS is still a global concern, providing facts that their strategies change from holding territory to encouraging their followers
You're listening
and militants
to WHCR
to carry out global terror attacks instead of holding on the territory, shedding light on the need to defeat the ideology overtaking down strongholds. A repeat illegal immigrant facing state and federal charges for the alcohol-related traffic death of an NFL player last Sunday. USA Radio's Chris Barnes with more.
Already deported twice in the past, Manuel Orego Zavala, a Guatemalan citizen, now faces four felonies linked to Sunday's fatal crash that killed Indianapolis Colts running back Edwin Jackson and Uber driver Jeffrey Monroe as they were standing in the shoulder of a highway near Indianapolis. That's when a Ford pickup truck allegedly driven by Orego Zavala struck them. President Trump is using the case to again call on Democrats to work towards stricter immigration laws. I'm Chris Barnes.
Thanks, Chris. This is USA Radio News.
Hi, I'm Wayne Allyn-Root. I was one of the biggest critics of Obama in the national media. Suddenly, I was under massive IRS attack. So I hired Sam Landis. Sam did an amazing job. We won twice. I didn't owe a penny. Thank you, Sam Landis. Many of you have IRS problems, and you've spent thousands with non-lawyer tax resolution firms. Do yourself a favor. Call Sam Landis for a free consultation. Trust me, Sam Landis is the best. Sam saved my life. Call Sam at 800-WE-HELP-YOU with the letter U. That's toll-free, 800-WE-HELP-YOU with the letter U. 800-WE-HELP-YOU.
Well, Democrats are excited after winning a seat in the Missouri State House of Representatives, racking up another victory in a district carried easily by the president in the 2016 election. They'll likely portray the unexpected win in Jefferson County as evidence the party's voters are fired up ahead of the midterms in November after a string of special elections wins over the course of the last year. The vice president says Washington's soon going to announce its toughest and most aggressive economic sanctions ever against North Korea. USA Radio's John Clements has more.
While in Japan on his way to the Winter Olympics in South Korea, Mr. Pence met with Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo Abe. After that meeting, Mr. Pence spoke about the regime in Pyongyang.
We will continue to intensify our maximum pressure campaign until North Korea takes concrete steps toward complete, verifiable, and irreversible denuclearization.
Mr. Pence also said North Korea must abandon its nuclear and its ballistic missile program. I'm John Clemens.
For the first time ever, the Gerber baby is going to be a baby that was born with Down syndrome. They've announced the spokesbaby is a one-year-old from Georgia named Lucas Warren. The baby food maker announcing Lewis is going to be the face of their social media account for over a year. Former Pope Benedict says he's dying, sending out a letter that was printed in an Italian newspaper that says he is on a pilgrimage towards home, stepping down 5 years ago because of health concerns, but taking time in that letter to thank folks that have sent well wishes his way. This is USA Radio News.
And good afternoon and welcome to Modern Design. We're having a little technical difficulties with our theme music this morning, but I'm actually very happy to have a guest in house who's a personal friend. He is an artist. He is very dynamic and he's been in the area for a long time. His name is Stephen Taylor and he is a portrait artist. Good afternoon. Every once in a while, I slip and say good morning because we did Modern Design for 3 years, and I have to get used to the afternoon time slot. All right, let's take a look at the weather, and then we'll begin our show. Okay. The National Weather Service is telling me that it is currently a mist fog situation and 33 degrees Fahrenheit. Now until 3 p.m., there's a winter weather advisory in place. This afternoon, 100% chance of rain. We know that with a high of 40 degrees. Tonight, rain mostly likely and partly cloudy with a low of 23. On Thursday, it will be a beautiful sunny day, but only a high of 29 degrees. On Thursday night, partly cloudy with a low of 18. Very cold on Thursday. On Friday, it's going to be mostly cloudy with a high of 36. On Friday night, mostly cloudy with a low of 29. On Saturday, chance of rain 40% with a high of 46. And Saturday night, chance of rain 70%. And that's our forecast. My topic today is art for your home. And people sort of say to me sometimes, well, is a portrait actually art or not art? I think a portrait is such an expression of oneself that it's important. And it's something that I would think you would pass on. It would be a legacy for something. How did you get involved with this, Stephen? Tell me about you and how this sort of evolved into this lovely business you have.
Well, I've always been a photographer back in the day of photography. And I found years ago that people were not investing in photography as they were in original oil-painted art.
Artwork. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. So I looked at it and I said, well, how am I going to get my portraits that meaning? How are my portraits going to be displayed on someone's wall? If you watch any movies from back in the 30s and the 40s and the 50s, you'll notice, or even Downton Abbey.
Right.
You'll see that there's always portraits
of the family. Yeah.
Yeah, it becomes their heirloom. It mm-hmm. becomes their story. Mm-hmm. It becomes a thread of part of the decor of their home.
Sure.
With something that you would look at the portrait and great-grandpa Jones would be on the wall.
Right.
In a large life-size portrait, not just a picture, which like an 8x10 or 5x7,
sure.
but a portrait that would portray great-grandpa Jones
right.
as he was. And every time you look at that portrait, and it could be 100, 200 years later, you had presence. You felt like he was there watching you. He never left. He never passed away.
And also, I think it invokes a conversation.
And it becomes a conversation piece.
Exactly, exactly. So tell me about where you started, where you're from. I hear a little bit there that you're probably a New Yorker.
I'm a New Yorker.
And how do you evolve this? What's your story?
I have a real long story. I could probably write a book. But
we have an hour. We can do
but
this.
But to sum it up a little bit, I started in the music industry. I went to the School of Performing Arts.
Okay, wonderful.
Classically trained oboist.
Mm-hmm.
I got to play in Carnegie Hall twice with the orchestra, which was kind of neat as
wow.
a kid growing up in New York City.
Mm-hmm.
And realized that that wasn't my true passion. Photography was. At age 10, my neighbor in my apartment building was an editor and photographer for boxing and wrestling magazines. His name was Bill Apter.
Mm-hmm.
And he would take me to professional boxing and wrestling magazines and met people like Muhammad Ali and famous wrestlers back in the day. And as age 10, I had a darkroom in my apartment.
Wow.
I just loved photography.
So this really was a passion from very early on in your life.
Oh, yeah.
So how did that evolve a little bit? How did that evolve a little bit into where it became a business?
Well, eventually, I went in another direction. I got a degree in electrical engineer and became a software developer.
Wow.
Now, here's where that combines. So my interest and my technical experience as a software developer and my ardent interest in photography, I was able to take the two. And when digital came about, I was able to transpose my experience as a photographer with film into my software experience and create photography that was now portraiture that looks like paintings through using I call it mixed media arts.
Sure.
A combination of a photograph using a camera and my digital photography skills with the computer, blending them together and now creating an image that looks like an oil painting.
So really a natural synergy of those two things that came together.
Exactly.
See, I think those things are fate. I always say to my guests, things happen for a reason, and there are no coincidences. So I just think maybe that was the right time for that to happen to you.
Exactly.
We're going to take our first set of commercial messages, and we'll be back shortly with more of Modern Design after these messages.
Oh, folks, you know what that music is. That's the time for Modern Design. This blue thing is a really new trend. A lot of the designers are trying to introduce blue as a new cabinet color.
This is topical for you guys. This is really topical.
And the mother said, well, I'd like her room to be gray. And the little girl said, Mom, gray is the color of depression.
Hi, this is Rich Scuderi of Modern Design. We're on live every Wednesday from 2 to 3, and you're listening on WHCR-DB.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR-DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
And we are back with more of Modern Design. My name is Richard Scuderi. Our program has been on the air for 4 years now. It's flown by. We changed our time slot recently. We're now on from the 2 to 3 hour, which is kind of fun. Lets me sleep late in the morning. And we talk all things design in the tri-state area. Everything from window treatments and fabrics and beautiful artwork and everything related to your home. Lots of shows on painting, staging, everything that you need. And also we give you great resources. And it's a joy to do Modern Design and to bring these things to you. You know, my process is that we start with a topic. We come up with a topic every week. I have a couple of interns that work with me. And on Sunday, I write a blog. And if you'd like to follow me on my blog, it's called The Color Guru, G-U-R-U, at blogspot.com. And that's the beginning of the origin of it. And then on Wednesday, I write that show. And then on Wednesday, we do the show here on the station. And now we have video. And you can watch Modern Design on Facebook or go to the site on WHCRDB and watch it. And now I'm starting to do the television show, so we complete that with guests. And even more information on Modern Design. So our guest today happens to be Stephen Taylor, portrait artist. And here's a topic. Now, Stephen's been a guest on Modern Design before, but here's a topic that I think is not really known. I think that people have an image of being a kid, and it's Christmas time, and they're going to take a picture with Santa, and not the level of sophistication and the investment and the importance of taking a picture. So, not a picture, I should say, creating a piece of art. Now, my mom unfortunately died very early in my life, and the year after she passed, I wanted to get a portrait done of her. There was a lovely picture of her. She was in a navy blue gown, and it was just a very, I thought that could bring on a beautiful piece of art that we can always look at. And I didn't know the process. I knew that there was a picture, mm-hmm. and from that picture, I probably should have taken it to somebody like yourself who's an artist mm-hmm. and master that so it's something. Because the picture degraded over time, and now that it's 30 years later, I don't even know where that picture is. But if you invest in something like that, there's always a story there. That's something that I could give my niece or nephew, and it's something I think you'd always have. That's not something you'd sell at a garage sale. It's a legacy. So tell me the process if someone has some... Because I think you often do people that are living and they sit for you. Do you get the request for people that have passed on, they want to do this because they want to have a conversation about their children? This was grandma, this was grandpa, this was aunt so-and-so?
Well, I would say that often people come to me and it's interesting. I'll just be a little sidetrack.
Sure.
Here is one of the biggest challenges in creating portraits of people is
sure.
people are so busy with their lives, mm-hmm. work, school, travel. Mm-hmm. And the other part of it is they have their selfies with their cell phone. And they think that that is suffices
sure.
to really create something that this is my family.
Right.
And when you talk about people who've passed on, mm-hmm. I hear this all the time. I wish I would have done this.
Yeah.
I wish we'd have had a portrait of my parents.
Sure.
I wish we had a portrait of my family growing up, a great portrait.
Right.
My father's gone. It's a little late now to do that. We can take a picture and create a painting from it.
You can. So, in other words, you don't necessarily, if the person has passed or the person, you know, the kids are maybe the point that you wanted to do when they were younger, you could take a photograph, perhaps, mm-hmm. and create it with that.
You can.
Is it not as easy of a process?
Well, it's a quality.
Okay.
So if you're looking to create a masterpiece,
sure.
whoever started the process, taking the photograph mm-hmm. to make the painting, had to do it right. Proper lighting, proper
sure.
posing. That's 90% of it.
So and, let's say, Stephen, somebody gives you a picture from Christmas 1968, and it's a color picture, and it's in really good shape. Is that an image, if it's well done, that you could sort of work on or perfect to turn it into something, or not necessarily?
It's possible. It's not where I like to start.
Sure.
I mean, because I'm looking to do the pieces. When you see my work, what I do is really be able to have total control of the experience.
Okay.
Because doing a portrait is an experience. It's a celebration of one's life.
Sure.
And it starts from the design process all the way through the process of installing it on their wall and enjoying it for the rest of your life.
Sure.
So that's a whole different discussion, what you're talking about.
Right.
It's not my specialty.
Here's a question, being that it's portrait art. You know, I had one dog in my life. His name was Cage, and he was a black lab. And he's my logo for my business, and it was very important to me. I don't think I could even do it again because it was that special of a thing. Do people take pictures of their pets as portrait art?
I would say some of my clients who invested the most money had a pet at least in the portrait.
In the picture, because one of the pictures I saw, you know, we're in equestrian, we're in horse country, I'm losing my words here.
USCT.
Yes, the USCT is right in your backyard there. And so I see people with horse pictures and things of that nature. What about dogs? Are dogs often incorporated in the family in the pictures?
I would say probably 50 to 60% of the time there's a dog in the portrait.
What's it like to be in your beautiful studio and you having pets? You have a little smirk there when I said that. What is that like when an animal's not in their own environment? Is that an issue? I would say
90% of the time they're fine.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of having somebody there to watch them when we're doing other kind of stuff that we need to focus on.
How about children and babies?
I would say that pets are probably easier than babies.
Really? Really? Okay.
Yeah. Often pets will pose. They'll go right in position. And
really? Because they're trained.
They're trained.
Babies aren't trained.
Something about it. Babies have their own mind.
Oh, isn't that funny? Yeah. So let's say your kids are, you know, 2, 3, and 5, and they're in a very cute place in their life, and you think, maybe this is something that I want to do. What would be the next step? Call your showroom?
Exactly.
Call your studio?
There are typically times in people's lives. So you have to figure out, why does someone do a portrait? So
sure.
There's several reasons. Okay. First reason is there's something going on. Maybe the children are going to college.
Oh, yeah.
And they want to remember this stage in their life because they're not going to see them every day.
Because you're looking at place and time.
Exactly.
Okay.
So we have a portrait of my wife and my son.
Okay.
Right when he started college.
Right.
And the truth was, I never missed him when he lived home. As soon as he left, I'm like in tears. I never expected me to be in tears. My son's going to be gone. But that portrait is in my studio.
Sure. It's a beautiful
gallery,
picture.
And it's in my home. And we enjoy it every day. And because it's sized properly and designed properly, it's like he's never left. So that's one time, is you're marking a period in time. The other time you might do it is also related to that, is as the children are younger, you want to remember that stage when they're cute and adorable.
Right.
Before they get into that teenage age.
Sure.
And now they've changed and it's sort of now becoming more of an adult.
Sure.
You know, the eyes and the lips never change. So you want to really capture those expressions and those moments, another thing.
Right.
The second reason why people do it is what you do. It becomes furniture.
Sure.
It becomes part of the thread of their home.
Right.
It becomes something to put over their fireplace, something to put over a sofa, over a piano, over a table. And usually it complements a piece.
Sure.
So I was installing a portrait the other day in a home down in Montgomery, and they had this large wall, and I actually installed it because they would have put it right in the middle of the wall. And they said, well, why'd you put it down maybe 8 inches or 10 inches above the table? I said, because that piece of artwork becomes part of that scene. It becomes part of the table.
Sure.
And so that's a common misunderstanding, that whenever I go into homes, they always center that photograph or that portrait or that painting in the center of the wall. And really, it has to be part of whatever scene
the
is part of it.
In a way, it's its own still life, right?
It's its own still life.
I totally agree with that.
Now, when there's a lot of space above it, what they do wrong? They sized it wrong.
Right.
So sizing of a portrait or painting is crucial.
But let's talk about that. That was one of my questions, was does the process start with you, that you go to their house and their environment to know how to size the picture, or does it start in the studio? Where do you typically start your journey?
Great.
Someone calls you and they say, I want to do this. What's next? What do you usually suggest?
Typically what I have them do is send me photographs of their home.
Oh, so you can sort of...
of the wall.
Right, so you can say, okay.
I actually have part of my software when after we do the photographs of their family.
Sure.
I actually superimpose that image within a minute after I take it on the photograph they gave me of the wall.
Wow.
And now we size it. And we start to look at it and we say, okay, two things you need to look at. 50 to 100% life size gives you presence, gives you feeling. So when you walk into a room, and this is not a large room here, but if you walk room... Let's say it's a 15-foot room, 20-foot room.
Right.
Is it a photograph sits on a table, and you have to walk up to about a foot away to see it. But a portrait should be designed in a way that it has presence. You walk in the room and say, wow.
Perspective, right?
That is magnificent.
Sure.
I feel like they're in the room with me.
Sure.
Also, when the portrait's designed 50 to 100% life size, if it's done properly, whether you're on the left side of the portrait or the right side of the portrait, who's that portrait looking at? It's looking at that person from both sides of the room.
Oh, isn't that interesting? I had no idea.
Exactly. Just like the Mona Lisa, you can't tell whether they're smiling or not.
Right.
A great portrait. I always do this when I go into my gallery before we do the portrait. I said, I want one of the kids to stand on the left, one on the right, about 15 feet away, and who's she looking at? And I always say, she's looking at me. But how can that be? They're both sides. Because a great portrait gives you presence. They're always in the room.
Amazing.
So the face size should be, we always say, no smaller than the fist, no larger than a hand.
Wow.
And that's 50 to 100% life size.
Sure.
So that's one thing. The other thing you look at is how much room do we have? So if we have a wall with 30 feet high,
right?
Something that's only going to go up,
you don't want a dot on the wall.
Right,
exactly.
You don't want a postage stamp.
Stephen, we have to go to some commercial messages, and we'll be back with more of Modern Design after these messages.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in a critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
This is Tony Clark, paraplanner at Patton Heide & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heide & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heide & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody out there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you!
Did you know? The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in. Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
And we are back with more of Modern Design. My guest today happens to be portrait artist, and I would say artist, Stephen Taylor. And we're talking about portrait art, something that I think is very important, a legacy, and I think far too few people have them. But, you know, I do wish that there was a young family picture of my family. It would be nice to have. I'd love to put it in my living room. It'd be something nice to have. But, you know, things happen. And mm-hmm. I think life's been so quickly now, it's hard to think of those things. And before you know it, that time has passed. So I do believe in your philosophy of knowing when that time is right and capturing that, something that you would keep along the road. You know, I was remiss in saying, why don't we tell people your address, your website? Let's give them some information so they can peruse and see some of your work. And then you were very generous today in this rain to bring some pictures. And then I'd like you to talk about what you've done and the shots and so on.
Sure. So I'm located in the heart of downtown Burnettsville. Mm-hmm. It's 3 Olcott Square. And you can check out my website. It's, of course, www.stportrait.com. S as in Stephen, T as in Taylor, portrait.com.
Great. And a phone number?
908-696-1100.
Terrific. So we were talking about the whole process, and I think it might be a little daunting for people to think, well, what am I doing with this? How much is it going to cost? Is it an investment? What if I don't look good? That type of thing. So you said you start with the fact that you'll have the image and the sizing of the person's place that they want to put it on the wall. Does it ever start that you go to the house first or not really?
Not typically. I mean, it depends on how customized the situation is.
Right. Well, you're set up for the studio, I think, for the perfect scenario, probably.
Exactly. Yeah,
the lighting is right.
Exactly.
I would imagine you'd have to adjust it if you did that.
Exactly. Unless I'm doing an equestrian portrait or something like that.
Sure.
But, you know, the next...
You mean you don't bring a horse into the studio?
It's difficult in Burnettsville.
Right.
The next step is we talk about why are you creating this portrait? Because the why is probably the most important part, because mm-hmm. we're trying to tell a story.
Sure.
And we want to know what it's about. We always say that people don't create portraits for themselves, although they will enjoy it daily for the rest of their lives. They do that for future generations, because basically the way life goes is it moves on fast.
Sure.
And what are we leaving behind to say who we are, what right. we're about? It's all we have. You know, at the end, all we have is our photographs, our memories.
Right.
And so we start to talk about how do you want to be remembered? So then we want to talk about clothing. People say to me, well, we're kind of a casual family. We're this, we're that. We talk about those things.
Right.
It's important what the dress is. And I say, well, how do you want to be remembered? If you were having a wedding,
right.
you might be the most informal people around, but why do you get dressed up for that wedding?
Right.
Because it's an important moment. It's a celebration.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
So most people get dressed up.
Right.
Some wear tuxedos and suits and gowns, and some a little more casual, like the way I'm dressed today with a turtleneck, let's say.
Oh, pretty snazzy, though,
right.
I would say.
Thank
Pocket
you.
Square going on.
Thank you. But the key is you want to look your best, and how do you want to be remembered? And that also talks about what kind of artwork do we want to do to you? So we slim people down. Some people want to be remembered a little slimmer than they are.
Sure.
Some people
want
to be a little younger. Everybody wants to be a little younger, a little slimmer. And so we'll work a little bit on their skin tones and soften their skin. So we do that for people. We want to flatter them the way they look. So we work with lighting. As a professional portrait artist, we know about lighting. We look at posing. You never want to photograph someone straight on. You always want to turn them sideways, because now they lose 30 to 40% of their weight. We want to use the right lighting, so we soften their skin tones. So there's a lot that goes into that as well.
It's a sense of balance, right? So you do a sense of balance. So you exactly. probably, now I have to face you head on here, you could look at somebody and you could see where the shadows are. And it really is hard. It really is. You really are an artist mm-hmm. as much as a photographer in this process, I would imagine. The absorption of light, the balance of someone's face, their body type, their coloring, and so on. Is there any colors or patterns you tell someone to stay away from?
Well, like the shirt you're wearing, which is checkered, you definitely don't want that. Because think about it. Whenever you look at a painting, mm-hmm. where does your eye go? It goes to the brightest part of the subject.
Sure.
And the busiest part.
This is busy. In fact, if I did this on television, per se, it might
exactly.
show movement.
Exactly.
Right.
So you want to keep the tones very solid
uh-huh.
and very usually I'd say we do what's called low-key lighting,
okay.
where everything is dark except the faces, so the faces stand out. So I tell people
so they
navies,
shine.
Blacks, exactly.
Yeah.
You know, it's not about the clothing as much as it is about the expressions.
You know, we did a show in the summer called The New Blue, and we talked about how, and you'll see this if you go into Design New Jersey Magazine or Architectural Digest, the color blue is very much trending in 2018. All shades from pale robin's egg to teals to dark navies. I just painted my dining room a beautiful, rich, dark navy blue. blues are trending. And I often say that people are becoming attached. The grays are still there, mm-hmm. but blues are becoming very popular because blue is a color that looks good on everybody.
Right.
You could be a redhead. You could be Latino. You could be African-American. You could be Asian. It's very flattering. Now, from an art perspective, is that in fact true?
Well, I will tell you, okay. my brand of Steven Taylor Portrait Artist, my background is a blue background.
Okay.
And it's a hand-painted David Mayhew background on a canvas material. And it's blue because it just works with just about everything, just like you said.
Yeah.
And I can manipulate how bright I want the blue to be or not to be. But again, the difference between a photographer and a portrait artist, a photographer takes pictures and gives them to you.
And that's it, right? There's maneuvering.
Right. They may know a little bit about posing. They may know a little bit of lighting. I'm not going to put them down. It's a different genre.
Sure.
A portrait artist, this is their specialty. It's like going to a brain or heart surgeon.
Sure.
You wouldn't go to get your heart bypass done by a physician who's an expert in what they do.
Exactly.
A brain surgeon is different than a heart surgeon. So we specialize in this sort of thing. So we know the colorings that you're supposed to use that work best for people.
Very interesting. I remember being a kid in first grade and there was a backdrop that was blue, but it looked like the Fresca. Do you remember the Fresca can? It was like that. And everybody did that. And I think because that brilliant blue made their skin look beautiful.
Yep.
And I always say, that's why I do a lot of blue dining rooms. And I say, don't you want your guests to look gorgeous behind you as a backdrop?
Right.
And I think blue definitely does that. So let's say, so we get to studio. What is the time usually? And I'm sure that varies if you have your photographing one person as opposed to a group. Mm-hmm. But what would be the amount of time per se, that if you went in with a couple or maybe a young family, that they would be in studio?
Typically, we spend about the first 15 minutes getting comfortable.
Okay.
We don't want that gaze, you know, deer in the headlights look. And that's what most
people... Well, don't you think, and we discussed this, I love doing media.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to be unaware of what I'm doing and go with it. I have a fear of having my picture taken. And I know so many people that have that.
Yep.
I mean, I could give a speech for 300 people, which I've done many times. But pictures, there's just something when that you're in that moment that it's frightening. How do you have people overcome that?
Right. So when someone creates a portrait, you're actually going deep into their soul.
There's some psychology in
this.
There's
a lot
there?
Of psychology into
sure.
it. And I think there's actually tribes in Africa that won't allow you to take photographs because they feel you're stealing part of their soul.
Sure.
You're all going deep into their soul. It's not a photograph. This is a portrait.
Right.
It's telling a story. You're getting people to react. So you have to start to get to know them and comfortable.
Right.
And start to get them to visualize something that they love and something that really says who they are as opposed to how good they look.
Okay.
Because we're all trying to look good.
Sure.
So we get to know each other for a while. That takes 15, 20 minutes.
Is there wine involved in that process?
We haven't done that yet. But
okay.
But the next 10, 15 minutes is doing the photograph.
Sure.
It doesn't take long. I could do a child in about a minute and a half.
Really?
Sometimes that's all I have for the child.
Is an adult more complex?
At least the adult is the behavior they're going to work with you a lot easier. So,
sure.
So whatever. But, it doesn't take long to do the picture.
I want to talk about posing because you gave us so much information so quick. And some people are hungry for that information of how to take a good picture. I had the fortunate experience of meeting Valerie Harper, the actress who played Rhoda in Mary Tyler Moore Show. And she's a friend of a friend of mine. And she was doing an event where they sign autographs. But she was a friend of my friend Michael's. And he says, she really wants to meet you. Come out. And I came out. And she was so gracious and gorgeous. And when she went to take the picture, she knew, because that was her business, how to stand.
Yep.
She says, oop, no, light's right. It's going to create a shadow. She knew her craft. And I thought, I was so impressed by that. That she had a walking knowledge of what makes a good picture. And she gave me a tip, and I'm wondering if it's a tip that you agree with or disagree with. She said right before she takes a picture, she closes her eyes and then opens them because it gives her a nicer look. Now, I had never heard that before.
Mm-hmm.
And being that you're an artist, have you used that or worked with that before?
When someone is very uncomfortable, I will.
Right.
Because it really gives them an opportunity to visualize something.
Sure.
Like a great vacation or something
right.
they really love or something
right.
they really care about or something about their life. And then when they open up their eyes, you kind of capture it before they
do like anything else. So I thought that was very intuitive she's somebody that's done that her whole life. And I also have had people tell me that, I think it may have been you actually, that a full smile is not really a good depiction of a person. It actually distorts them, which I believe, mm-hmm. and people will say to me, you never smile. I think a pleasant face, but not a frowning face, but a smile gives you laugh lines, and it distorts the actual proportions of your face. Do you agree or disagree with that?
Oh, I am the one who told you that.
Yeah.
If you look at the Mona Lisa, you look at any classical art.
Right.
And when I create art, it's classic because
right.
it's like the black dress that never goes out of style.
Sure.
So when you smile, uh-huh. it sort of almost gives you like a period of like, oh, this is a happy moment for a Christmas card.
Right, right.
When you
not a portrait.
A natural, a portrait, right. you're smiling through your eyes.
Sure.
You don't want to look like you're frowning. You don't
no.
look angry.
Right.
You want to look as gentle, casual feel.
Right.
Where you're smiling through your eyes. And because when you smile, your eyes get smaller.
Right.
And the portrait is about your eyes. That's the entree to your soul, what you're thinking, mm. or your lips and your eyes.
Sure.
So you want them to be as large as possible.
Uh-huh.
And when you smile, they get smaller. And then again, the lines and the cheeks, it gets distorted. So look at anybody, the most beautiful look at a man or a woman, when they're just naturally relaxed and just gentle smile of joy, that's the best look. And look at any artwork, you'll see that.
Would you say, and I think I believe this, it's just like dancing. Go to a wedding on the weekends. All the women are up dancing and the men are sitting in their seats having a talk.
Right.
I would think that's very much socialized, that men are taught to be more stiff and women are more fluid. I would think on the whole, women take pictures better.
Oh, here's something interesting.
Okay.
So next part of the process is we project them on a big screen.
Okay, so let's follow the process along. So we've said you get to studio, you pre sort of set up the sizing of the picture. In the first 15 minutes, you take shots. Then what happens?
Okay, get them comfortable. We
right.
get the picture.
Uh-huh.
I go through a quick edit.
Okay.
And then I project them in a room, and they're sitting about 15, 20 feet away from the image.
So they are in studio and already seeing what the product's sort of going to look like.
About 5 minutes after we do the pictures.
Wow.
And so the excitement is that it's a celebration. They're excited. They're having a good time. It's fun.
Right.
And the next part is now we're projecting the image life-size mm-hmm. on the wall. And we sit them about 15, 20 feet away because that's the first view when you look at your portrait on the wall, what you're going to feel.
Sort of the projection too, right?
Okay. And you want to see it
uh-huh.
life-size.
Right.
So we'll start off life-size. And then what we'll start to do is we'll start to look at the images. And one thing I'll say quickly is when you look through the images, the women change and the men look the same in every portrait. They never move.
Yeah.
The men are the easiest to photograph.
They're more static.
They don't have
movement.
They all look like corporate executive CEOs.
Who's often, on the whole, more confident in front of the camera, men or women?
Men.
Yeah, that I would say. Right.
Well,
stiff, but still.
So there's another thing we say is that when a man looks at a portrait, he'll say, that looks really nice. And then he might say, you know what? And it gets a little, but maybe just change this. A woman looks up, I don't like my nose. I don't like my this. I don't like, women already know what they don't like about themselves.
Right.
They have that image. So my biggest challenge is to learn what that is, to find out, what are you comfortable about? What are you not comfortable about? If you're uncomfortable about something in your face, your figure, we need to now sort of emphasize the positive and decentuate the negatives in the portrait.
But don't you have to sort of be truthful? Like there's a line with that. If somebody is a full-figured person, mm-hmm. male or female, you certainly could make the picture more flattering. But if you made them thin, that would probably not really be truthful.
No, but...
And I don't know even if you could distort a picture that much.
Well, I could through Photoshop, make somebody 100 pounds thinner. That's not a problem.
Wow.
And some people do want that. But if you don't photograph someone right, they're not going to like themselves from the beginning.
Sure.
So you have to really work on that from the beginning. It's not an insult. It's you want
Do
to plan
some it. People have unrealistic expectations of what they're going to look like?
Most people don't.
Most people don't.
Most people know what they're going to look like. They might just say, I want to look younger or thinner. That's going to be, and I'm going to take care of that. In fact, when we look at the images, the first thing I coach them on is they say, don't be critical of yourself. You know, a teenage girl, 17 years old, is your worst subject because
sure.
they're very critical. And I always kid around with them. I say, look, this is the raw image. Look at all the images in my portrait gallery. Look how beautiful I'm going
They're
to
all beautiful, right?
You're going to be beautiful. Don't
right.
worry about it. Let's
right.
just look at and find an expression and an image that resonates with you. And then we're going to look at a size. And we're going to look at the sizes of the faces. Remember, 50 to 100% life size. And this sitting 20 feet away, 15 feet away. So at that point, they kind of get that feeling of presence. And then we start to look at framing. So we haven't talked about framing yet.
No.
Are we ready to talk about framing?
Well, we're going to go to do our news.
Okay.
You can get a glass of water if you like.
Okay.
And we'll be back with the second half of Modern Design right after the news.
USA Radio News with John DeMaster.
I believe we have reached a budget deal that neither side loves, but both sides can be proud of.
Just over an hour ago, Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer on the floor of the Senate saying they've reached a long-term budget deal.
The budget deal is a win for the American people. It will also do so much good for our military and for so many middle-class Americans. And finally, consign the arbitrary and pointless sequester caps to the ash heap of history.
This in the face of a looming U.S. government shutdown, the president taking to Twitter about newly released FBI text messages, which he calls bombshells. The two between lovers Peter Strzok and Lisa Page talking about how former President Obama wanted to know everything about the Hillary email investigation from the FBI. This is USA Radio News.
Addiction. There was a day when the word addiction was just another word. If you're battling addiction, it's not easy to ask for help. It's hard to admit you really need it. Call and end addiction. Call and connect with representatives of a treatment center or rehab facility. Call and end addiction. 1-800-665-0239. Some insurance plans help pay for the cost of treatment. Be sure to check your policy or call your agent to see if you're covered. It's not easy to talk about your addictions or those of someone you care about. It's hard for you to experience. It's hard for them to watch. The first step to ending addiction starts with one free, private, and no obligation call. Addiction. There can be a day when the word addiction is just another word again. Your life is not over. There are things you still need to do. The first thing to do is call and end addiction. 1-800-665-0239. 1-800-665-0239. 1-800-665-0239.
And we are back with more of Modern Design. My guest today happens to be Stephen Taylor, portrait artist. And we're very lucky because through the rain, he's trudged through as a trooper, not even complaining, with some gorgeous art. So why don't we start with that first image you have, if you don't mind.
Sure.
And I'll see how this is coming out on. That's just beautiful. Let me just see the image on my end. Actually, yeah, if you actually go back a little bit, I think the perspective would be better, just as you say. You may even be able to stand and lean it on the chair.
Okay.
I think that might give a better... Perfect. Perfect. That's terrific. So tell us a little bit about this, the history of this, and how this picture actually happened.
Well, this portrait is a little different than what I typically do, which is in a studio. This was Emmy... who was graduating high school.
Right, beautiful girl, you can see from the picture.
Yeah, she was graduating Gil St. Bernard's with my son, and she was going to miss her horse. She was going down to North Carolina. We wanted to create an equestrian portrait here.
Right.
I believe this is somewhere in Tewksbury.
Uh-huh.
And it took me about 3 days to do this because I had to photograph her with the horse and then see the horses in the background.
Well, that's my question, because you don't shoot on location. How did you make this happen? Did you take a picture of her in studio?
No, this is all on location. But
you did this on location?
I had to go back several times
to
the different backgrounds.
Sure.
We created this piece.
Right, right, right.
This is not typical, but uh-huh. something I'd love to do.
I mean, this is such a beautiful piece of art. Not knowing this lovely girl, I would want to buy that picture and put it in my library above my yep. fireplace because it's just a lovely picture.
Yeah.
The use of color is gorgeous. The grass, you see the depth of the grass and the shading of the light. It sets a mood, or at least in my mind it does. And it's just a very pretty picture. It's a natural picture, but there's an elegance to it.
Yeah.
Let's just change gears a little bit and talk about framing. I notice you have very beautiful, very elaborate frames. When someone picks the portrait, they've accepted it and they're ready to go further. How do you choose a frame? Is that something they choose? Do they look at different frames? Or do you say, this is what I suggest you do?
The framing is almost as important as the portrait itself.
Tell me why that is.
Well, I kind of equate it with you could buy a beautiful dress, and if you don't wear the right jewelry
right.
and the right makeup, you sort of just taking this beautiful gown that you have, and you
right.
and it doesn't look the same.
The look is not complete, is it? Or complementary to the piece.
Exactly. So
right.
it's just as much artistry
okay.
as the portrait is.
Right.
Because the frame, you don't want it to take away from the portrait. You want it to add to it. So, for example, the kind of portraits I do with the blue background, the gold is what I recommend.
Sure.
And I have people come in, either my house is more casual, it's not as formal, and I say, the kind of frames that we do mm-hmm. are it's kind of like that quilted bag. Mm-hmm. Gucci is a Gucci. One of the companies makes it.
Okay.
Where you could wear it to a ball, or you could wear it with jeans and sneakers
right.
with friends for lunch.
Right.
And so it fits anywhere.
So it could coexist with other things,
right.
whether they be casual or more formal.
Plus, we know the way people decorate these days, it's a little more eclectic. It's not all
exactly.
living the same. So I've had my classical portraits
okay.
in very modern homes, and
right.
they look fantastic.
Right.
And they say, well, I don't like gold. But gold brings out the skin tones. Silver brings it down. You sort of lose it. It flattens the image.
Sure. And there's a warmth to gold that probably carries over to the pictures.
Exactly.
And I will tell you this, and I think the masses are sort of so fearful of this because they've just gotten rid of it. Gold is back in terms of interior design.
Really?
Gold is back. It's a different type of gold. It's not the 80s shiny brass yellow gold. It's more of a matte gold. And we're seeing it in everything. We're seeing it in light fixtures. Hardware, people are picking. I'm doing this week I'm doing a kitchen makeover and we're looking at gold hardware.
Interesting.
So gold is back. People aren't totally embracing it yet.
Right.
But those who are on the cutting edge want to do, believe it or not, we're doing a top cabinet that's a white shaker. And the bottom cabinets are going to be a painted finish of navy blue with gold hardware. It sounds horrific. It's absolutely gorgeous. And I'll take some pictures and I'll put them on my social
yeah.
media. So you can see. So gold is back. So there you go.
Right.
And it depends on, you know, what flatters the picture.
Right.
So if we could, I'd love to take a look. You brought three lovely pieces of art at your next picture. And I think what worked best was, and I know it's a lot to maneuver, if you could go back a little bit, we can really see.
Is that good?
Okay. Oh, terrific. I think we have a good view of the shot. So tell me the story.
This is an interesting piece.
Okay.
So Alex over here, I had met her and I said, when you graduate high school, I want to create your portrait for you.
Okay.
Because I think you're lovely, I think you're beautiful, and I think you should remember this time of your life forever and ever and ever.
Sure.
Because people never look as good as they do the day that you do their portrait, right? I
mean, okay.
Some of those things. And so everybody said she's very shy. You probably won't get a good portrait of her. She doesn't talk to anybody, and she's just might not be comfortable.
But I'm going to tell you something. You've portrayed it because I can see shyness in her image. Does that make any sense to you?
Isn't that interesting?
I can.
Well, what I'll tell you is she's
not uncomfortable, but a little withdrawn. Not in a bad way, though, but just timid, yeah.
But what I'll say about it is uh-huh. she got all dressed up.
Right.
Like she was going to a wedding that day.
Right.
And as insecure as people might have said she might have been, here's another thing about portraiture. It builds self-esteem and self-confidence. Afterwards, you know what she asked me?
What?
I'd like to start modeling. Can you connect me with modeling?
Wow.
You never expect this in a million years.
Sure.
It built such confidence being behind
right.
the camera and working with me
right.
and seeing what the portrait looks like.
Right.
It's just so powerful. And the family unit, it's a proven fact. Stanford has done all sorts of statistics on this. is that a family portrait or portrait of yourself, self-esteem, confidence, and love and closeness of family. People have a family portrait in their home and displayed for everyone to see and enjoy. The kids tend to be more family-orientated when they grow up and leave the home.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
I have a quick question for you, and then we have a last set of commercial messages. And that is when you do a family picture and the family, they each want to take a copy of it. How do you do duplicates? Or can you even do duplicates?
The fact that this starts with a cap, with a photograph.
Right.
Now, let's talk about how artists create their artwork. Artists usually do a sketch, and their underlay of the sketch is what they work over. So they have to sketch, and they start to oil paint over it.
Okay.
I use the photograph as my underlay.
Okay.
So I do a lot of work on the computer.
Uh-huh.
And then the larger ones are actually oil painted. We use acrylics because oils take forever to dry.
Because that first one looked like it was oil, like an oil painting.
Exactly.
Okay.
So the larger ones do have an oil enhancement on them.
Okay.
And of course we use acrylics because oils take forever to dry. But we use the word oil because people don't understand acrylics. And so they are oil painted. And I call it the marriage between the realism of a photograph and the richness of an oil painting. Because once it has that look, the first thing everyone says, and you've said it yourself, when you come into my gallery, is this a painting?
Right.
Is this a photograph? I can't tell. Because it looks so real.
Truthfully, it's a hybrid. You can see it's a hybrid between
the two.
It's
a mixed media art, exactly.
Yeah.
And some people can't, most people can't tell the difference. You being in the world, you could say, okay, I could see that. But the only difference is instead of the underlie being a sketch that they drew by hand, it's a photograph that we painted over.
Right. We're going to take our last set of commercial messages and we'll be back with more of Modern Design right after this.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime. And selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 in Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then, I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technologies to ensure that we're not getting these people.
I'm sorry.
The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in that critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
Hi, I'm Sharon Skibbe of CompuPay Payroll. The Chamber is a great way to connect to other businesses within Hunterdon County and build strong and lasting business relationships.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
And we are back with Modern Design. My name is Richard Scuderi. I'm an interior designer, contractor, and home stager for the past 21 years, owning Modern Design with Maven Hill Designs on Modern Design, two locations, one in Ringo's, New Jersey at 176 Route 20231 in Ringo's. And if you're in the northern New Jersey area near Short Hills Mall in beautiful downtown Maplewood Village, My second location is 191B, like boy, Maplewood Avenue, Maplewood, New Jersey. Come check us out. Stephen Taylor is my guest today. He's a portrait artist, and he's holding now for a while. He's holding a beautiful portrait. Now, what I would say about this picture is, this is the first one you've showed me where you're doing multiple people, and I would imagine it would be a challenge doing more than one subject at a time. Isn't it, in fact, a challenge to get everybody right because everybody has their own look, their own light and balance and so on?
It is a challenge, but with the experience of someone who knows how to pose people and work with them, we know that, I would say, and here's a little tip for you, is that when you're working with a small child, you want to have the main subjects, the adults, to always be working with the camera, not with the child. Let me work with the child. Let me work with the dog.
Yeah, actually, I see that.
They start to look at the child and start to direct them.
Right.
I'm the director.
Right.
I have to be in total control.
No, I see that and I just assume it's husband and wife, but I assume that the couple is focused on the camera and the baby's sort of free, happy, and
I may have swapped the face of another photograph.
Okay.
That's very often that we'll do a portrait of six people.
Right.
And everybody's perfect except for one.
Sure.
There's another portrait we did, a frame or two.
Oh, and you can just swap them out.
I swapped the faces.
Wow. Okay.
Yep.
All right, terrific. So, you see that all three pictures are lovely framed, but they're all very different and individualized to the person. And, I don't know these people, but it seems like you've matched them to probably their personality to some degree.
Right.
So let's talk about how you market your pictures. This is an investment piece. It's something that's very lovely. It's something that you're going to, pass down and so on. You do some interesting marketing things, and one of the things that I know that you work with is high-end auto dealers and some gifting programs. So why don't you talk about basically what you do and what you can offer the people that listen to Modern Design, right, and also the public out there of how you market your product?
Two ways. One is, and you could all help raise some money for your local charities. This year, my goal is to raise $30,000 for local religious organizations, schools, or different hospitals and different issues that people have with cancer and things like that, when they're doing an auction. So often you'll go to a silent auction, a live auction, and you'll see there's a photographer there. Well, as a portrait artist, I always display a little display there, and I auction off a $3,000 portrait, and whatever money is raised from the auction, $200, $2,000, whatever they raise, goes to the charity. So our goal is to find more organizations that are having auctions, silent events, at gala events. And so you could help us if you know that. Give us a call about that. Mm-hmm. The other way we do that is we have a gifting program. What better gift can you give to a client? Business is always marketing and trying to find new clients. They advertise. They spend a lot of money and time, effort finding new clients. They forget about the clients that already know them, love them, and trust them. The clients that are in their database that they could be doing more business with.
Right.
Well, what better but to give a gift? So if you give a gift that's branded with your company name on it, that's cute, that's nice, but that looks like a promotion.
Right.
But if you give them a portrait, something that touches the heart and soul of that family, shows them you care about them and their family, nothing related to you. It's actually something very special and different.
Right.
And that portrait's on their wall. They will think of your company every day. So we do a gifting program with high-end car dealerships, jewelry stores, furniture stores, architects, designers, people that work with the kind of people that really appreciate the artwork we do.
Sure.
And we do a gifting program where they send out a gift certificate for a family portrait. That's a great way to meet people.
It's wonderful. Yeah. It's amazing. So, Stephen, we're just about at the end of the hour. I'd like you to give your information again. If somebody's interested in possibly having a portrait done, maybe come meet you, see some of your beautiful work. Tell us how we can find you again.
You could find me. I'm located in Burnsville, New Jersey. Mm-hmm. You could look me up on the internet at stportrait.com. Stephen Taylor at Burnsville. My number is 908-696-1100.
Okay, and I think this has been very informative. One last question that I didn't get to ask you, and I was curious of an answer to. If someone gives you a picture, they mail you a picture, and you don't know them and you see that person, how do you, if you don't know them, how do you create a, a look with what you do? Is there something you just have to sort of go by the picture intuitively?
I've noticed
that there were personality in every picture. I could see that you could see that. How do you do that when it's sort of just static? It's not something that's living? And
it's a little more difficult because that's the whole purpose of me generating the portrait and creating it from scratch.
Because it's a piece of art. Right. It's a statement.
But I will tell you, I probably had 3 commissions this last year where they were, one was a wedding done in Italy of a bride and groom.
Right.
He created a painted portrait.
Nice.
One was a gentleman on a Russian gentleman on a Russian horse. It was all sorts of costumes.
Right.
He actually did 2 of them. And you know, it's all doable, but you can't change. You can change the mood a little bit by coloring, but you know, it is what it is.
Right. You can't interpret as much. Stephen, this was wonderful. I'm sure I'm going to have you on again and some of the other things that we do in media. And I say to my listening audience, thank you for supporting us. I see that the show is growing. The numbers are wonderful. And I really appreciate you hanging in with Modern Design. We have wonderful, wonderful guests coming up in the next couple of weeks and lots of visuals and things that we're going to be doing. So I thank you for tuning in to Modern Design, and we'll see you next week. Have a wonderful week, everybody. Bye-bye.
USA Radio News with John DeMaster.
I believe we have reached a budget deal that neither side loves, but both sides can be proud of.
Just over an hour ago, Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer on the floor of the Senate saying they've reached a long-term budget deal.
The budget deal is a win for the American people. It will also do so much good for our military and for so many middle-class Americans. And finally, consign the arbitrary and pointless sequester caps to the ash heap of history.
This in the face of a looming U.S. government shutdown, the president taking to Twitter about newly released FBI text messages, which he calls bombshells. The two between lovers Peter Strzok and Lisa Page talking about how former President Obama wanted to know everything about the Hillary email investigation from the FBI. This is USA Radio News.